I want to talk to you tonight about keep the miracle alive. Bump your neighbor, say, keep the miracle alive. Pastor, we're a church about miracles. Well, we don't go from miracle to miracle. That's one thing for sure. God doesn't want us to live a life of crisis management to crisis management. God gives us wisdom. He helps us think as well, intelligently. God's given us a brain. So, if people are constantly in a place of sickness, you got to go get help from a doctor as well. God will heal you, but maybe you've got some bad habits. You have to change it. If you're constantly broke, maybe you must go speak to somebody to help you with a budget. You with me? If you're unfit, like I discovered, I'm a little bit unfit in some area, I'm going to get better now. Get fit. So God gives us miracles in certain seasons and times in our lives because He wants to accelerate things. He wants to hasten things. He wants to quicken things. So God will intervene in your life sometimes because we're behind on the clock. But when he does something supernatural, you've got to keep it alive. And I want to share with you certain principles that we've learned as a church over the years that helps us keep the miracle alive. One thing is you need to stay in a place of faith. Amen. Bump your neighbor, say, stay in a place of faith. Jesus could not perform miracles in His own hometown because the people were unbelief. They became familiar. They got casual about their walk with God, casual about the things of God. They never made Sunday a sacred day. They treated it just like another day. No, you don't just treat your life just like any life. You're a child of God. You are holy, you are separated, you have a destiny. God separated you before the foundation of the earth, before you were formed in your mother's womb. God had a plan and a purpose with your life, and you're going somewhere. Amen. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. God orchestrated you to be alive today. There's a reason you're alive today. You weren't born in the 1400s. You weren't born in the 1800s. You are born now because this world needs you to be alive. Amen. The greatest generation is alive today. The Bible speaks about the saints of old. Your Abrahams, your Isaacs, they would have loved to live in the days that you and I live in now. But you can hop on an airplane and you can fly. You can use internet technology. You can use a cell phone. Knowledge is easily available. You can ask AI anything. It's an exciting time in the history of mankind to be alive. And we shouldn't get twisted and confused with the God assignment that He has for us. Shouldn't be distracted by social media as a toy. Social media is a tool. It's a tool. You're either going to play with it and you're going to maybe even burn yourself, or you're going to use social media as a tool. Use technology as a tool to accelerate your career. Not to cheat in your exams. We need people that can still have critical thinking. Amen. You still need to have to add up without the calculator. You still need a brain. You still have to think. A lot of people now are just totally relying on technology, on other people to think for them. No. What's going to separate you different from other people is that you can think critically. And God gives us a brain, and He gives us the anointing. So when God intervenes in our lives, like He did in my life, I was on my way to Bloemfontein to go and study economics. I had just come back from a month in Johannesburg. I was going to be a stockbroker. I was going to work at a brokerage firm. I was going to qualify, and then I was going to go to New York and go work on Wall Street. That was the plan I had for my life. Everything was lining up. And the firm where I was, they said, you must go qualify. Go get your BCom economics. So I enrolled at Free State University. I was on my way out, about to leave. My bags were packed. I went to visit my friend. It was a Tuesday night. I was leaving Wednesday morning to go and go study university and get my degree. Some of my friends were there already. They're saying, come, we can't wait to have you. And that night I'm visiting a friend and my mother phones me at my friend's house. I'm like, this is weird. My mom says, come home now. And I'm like, oh gee, did someone die? And my mom said, no, you got a call from somebody. They want to offer you a job here in Kimberley. Huh? Is this the crisis? Mom, did you not hear? I'm going to Bloemfontein tomorrow. She says, okay, just go for the interview tomorrow. Just go for the interview. Just please your mother. And I've learned, honor your parents, okay? Honor those in authority that love you, that want the best for you. Even if you don't agree with them, honor them. And I honored my mother and I said, okay, fine, I'm gonna go. And I went. And as I walked into this company in Kimberley, it was an audit firm. It felt like a time warp. No tech, I mean, they still had typewriters. Old technology. Like very senior citizens in this firm. I don't want to say that without being offensive. And I waited. It's 10 o'clock, having the interview. Some of the people didn't even know who I was and what was going on. And the gentleman came and he said, no, we found the school. We want to give you a position. We want to give you a job in Kimberley. As you know, Mike, you know, as an accountant. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I left there. And I was now so confused because I really felt God was busy intervening in my life here. Because I knew if I went to university, this is Brian Kutsier. I'm not talking about every person else here. Some people must go to university like you have. I'm talking about how God intervened. God wanted me to stay here in Kimberley. And I had this perfect plan for my life, but God intervened. God doesn't always do it, but He intervened. And I sat with my mother and my father and they said, we believe you must stay. And if you know my testimony, I didn't want to stay in Kimberley. I'm going to New York. Going overseas. But God had a better plan. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where I would have been today if I had followed my plan. I definitely wouldn't be standing here today in front of you as your pastor. I've learned God has got much better plans, much greater plans. But sometimes God intervenes. He can intervene in your career. He can intervene in your health, in your finances. But He's going to... It was a miracle how everything fell into place on the last day. Just before I was about to go, God intervened. I want to tell you that miracle working God, if He did it for me, He's going to do it for you. Because a couple of weeks before that, I prayed to God. I said, God, I give you my life. I told you I was a month in Johannesburg. I was in Johannesburg and I was like, you can have everything. You can have the music, you can have the cars, you can have the money, but I felt empty. I felt very empty. I was playing tennis with my cousin at the foot and on the top of the mountain. People were worshiping. I heard, I wasn't even really saved yet. And I heard people worshiping Christ, God. We're playing tennis and I felt like, what am I doing here? God has a better plan. And that night I prayed. I said, God, I give you my life. It's the best prayer that you can pray. God, I give you my life. Direct me where you need me to be. And God heard my prayer. Came back to Kimberley. And as I said, I was on my way to Bloom and God intervened. And I had to keep the miracle alive in my heart. I had a choice. And I thank God we kept the right choice. God saved me. Got baptized. God brought me into a spiritual family, a church. I learned about getting planted. I learned about serving, building. And in the small little firm of where I was working, I was an article clerk. My salary was 1,100 rand a month. That was a lot for me, but it wasn't a lot. But one thing I learned in the church, I learned about the principle of seed time and harvest. How God wants me to increase in my life. And that God would do something that I had to keep the miracle alive. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. It said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I learned seed time and harvest in the church. I learned as a young man to break the spirit of poverty over my life, and I honor my parents. My father today is in heaven. My mother still comes to church. She sits in the second row. She loves God. But God had to teach me, just like He had to teach me about forgiveness. He had to break, not that I was a racist, but we all inherently are prejudiced. The white people still think they're better, or black people still think they're better. Colored people still think they're better. We all think we're the chosen race. No, there's only one race. It's the human race. Amen. You've got to stop listening to the politicians. They're there to divide us. Jesus came to unite us. The blood of Jesus reconciles us. There's no male or female. There's no black, white, colored, Asian, Caucasian. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Naked we come into this world, naked we will exit this world. You got to get beyond this as a nation, as a student, you got to be careful. As an adult, you got to be careful that we don't get twisted in our Christianity. If you're not saved, it's a different story. But if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, we value people, we love our neighbor as ourselves. Say amen. So God had to teach this. And one of the things is He said, now he who supplies seed to the sower. What does that mean? God will give you seed if you are willing to be a sower. That's how God breaks poverty over your life. Let me tell you what keeps us poor. Poverty is a mindset. Poverty is the little bit that I have to hold on to that. God says, no, I'm your source. I'm your source. I will give you seed that you can be a sower. I will give you seed that you can be a sower. I shared this morning, if you understand Israel, the map of Israel in the north is the Sea of Galilee. I've been there twice. It's a beautiful place. There's a lot of fish there, a lot of life in the Sea of Galilee. The Golan Heights, the rain falls, comes and it fills it up. The water comes in and it exits down the Jordan River. Have you heard of the Jordan River? Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Joshua and Caleb, they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. There's still a Jordan River to this day. The Sea of Galilee feeds the Jordan River. There's water that comes in and it goes out. There's a Dead Sea, which I've also been there. It's incredible. It's one of the lowest seas. It's below the sea level. There's such a thing like that. It's below sea level. It's salty. You float in it. But it's called the Dead Sea because there's nothing coming in, nothing going out. It's dead. If you swallow that water, you can die. I was so scared I was going to swallow the water. Everybody's enjoying the floating. I'm just scared I'm going to swallow this water. I don't want to die swallowing salt water. Gee, that's now a hero. How did he die? No, he swallowed too much seawater in the Dead Sea. That's embarrassing. Am I right? Nothing coming in, nothing going out. Your life as a Christian, God gives you things and it comes out. The Bible says, freely you have received salvation, freely you must share. That's why we have to testify what God has done in our life. You want to stay alive like the Sea of Galilee? As God blesses you, make sure that you testify of what God has done. It must come in, it must go out. You're not a swamp. You're not a dead sea. God gives seed to sowers. If there's one thing that you need to pray for, say, God, make me a sower. Because why? God promises He will give you seed to a sower. Now, I prayed this prayer, earning 1,100 rand a month as a trainee accountant, article clerk in the back office where this light bulb, the fluorescent light bulb was flickering the whole time, giving me a headache. God taught me, ask me for seed. And ask God for money, ask Him for seed. Why? Because you want to sow. You want to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Bump your neighbor. Say, are you listening? Don't fall asleep now. Vrachis. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. Verse 6, it says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. I had to learn that my income is not my company where I'm working. I had to learn God is my income. It was a few weeks later, I got a bursary from one of the wealthiest men in South Africa, whom I've never met. But as a Christian, I made a decision, God, give me seed. I got a bursary from a gentleman in Cape Town that I'd never met. Paid for everything. I gave him my UNICEF fees. There was some money left over. I said, can I use it for a laptop? I was like, you're pushing now, Brian. He said, yes. And I bought a laptop. Praise Jesus. Because I'm a sower. God's my source. I couldn't afford it on $1,100. My mother made me pay rent. Yes. My loving mother, she made me pay rent. She said, you will pay rent. You're not going to have free boarding and lodge. I had to pay for my own petrol in my car. And I had the ugliest car in the church at that stage. It was the ugliest car. We would go play sport and all the cars were parked outside there. And the one day I passed and I looked back and I looked at all the cars. I thought, gee, I got the ugliest car out of everybody. But praise God, the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God doesn't want you to worry, be fearful about who's going to pay your studies, who's going to pay for your food this week. Trust in Him. Be a sower. God is your source. Amen. He is able to bless you abundantly. As a young student, you must learn this. As a scholar, even old people must learn this. God is our source. And there it is again, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed. Ask God to make you a sower. God, make me a sower. Verse 12, it says, this service that you perform is not only, scripture up please, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, in other words, the church, the kingdom, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. When you are sowing into God's kingdom, there's so many benefits. Yes, the church benefits, don't get me wrong. We have bills to pay. We are trusting God to pay for this debt. Hallelujah. But it's something that happens back to you. You are the recipient. You will receive the harvest. Bible says, Galatians, let no man be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. I was my fourth or fifth year at this firm. I'm sitting there like you are on a Sunday night. And the pastor came up, he did an offering. He shared Philippians 4 verse 17. And he shared, not that I desire the gift. He was talking about Paul in Philippians 4 verse 17. He said, the church doesn't only want the gift. Yes, we're thankful for it. But he says, what excites him is the fruit that's going to bear on your account. God's going to multiply your seed. And I sat there because I was busy wrestling. God was telling me, it's time to step out, start a business. You've now been faithful with another man's. You've been a manager. You've worked faithfully. But there was an income cap, and God wanted to have me start a business. And on that very scripture, Philippians 4:17, in church, in 2004, I decided, thank you, Lord, I'm going to step out on that scripture. I've learned that you are my source. I've learned that you are a God that you will give me seed, so I will never be in lack. And I thank you for opportunity. I've been faithful. I'm leaving on good terms. I'm not going to steal any of my boss's clients. I thank you, God, that you'll open up a new door. And I acted in on a word. And I called the company Phil Four. When we started, we had people come, can we speak to one of the four Phils, please? I say, no, it's a scripture. Oh, okay. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than what it is to receive. The world says, no, you must be a taker. You must just hold on to the little bit that you have. One thing about God is He wants to empower you, bless you, so that you can become a blessing. He told Abraham, this is the covenant. Through you, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to many other people. You have to see it like that. You need a mindset shift change. We're not just a gimme, gimme church. A mindset Christian. A poverty mindset. Just give me, just give me. When the bill comes, you duck. We are a generous church because we have a generous God. For God so loved the world that He gave. Our God is a giver. Our God is a sower. So we have His nature. We are sowers. We're not manipulated, controlled by the world's economy. We have seed in the ground. We say, God, give us more seed. God said, you shall lend to many nations. You won't have to borrow. I will bless you. I will make you the head and not the tail. I will make you above only, not beneath. God will be your source, student, scholar, adult. God is your source, not man. We thank God that you have a job. We thank God that you have a bursary. But one day, that river's going to run dry, and then what? Then God changes the river. He's your source. Amen. You can never start a business if you haven't made God your source. As a Christian, as a believer. And it's something that before we even start talking about the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing and releasing things, as a pastor, I felt we have to just lay this basic, seed time and harvest. And what a privilege it is to partner with God's pledge. We'll talk about that in a moment. Isaiah 55 verse 8, my time is coming to an end. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So you have to understand, sometimes your brain might just conk out a little bit. You're trying to figure it out. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. God is a spirit. God gives you a rhema, a word. God does a miracle. Then your brain must catch up and support it. But you have to keep the miracle alive. God does something great, you have to follow through with it. You have to sustain. I'm going to talk about it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God thinks differently to the way you and I think. Here it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, my wife and I were driving back this week, in the storm, it was hailing, the rain was coming, it was hectic. You hear the hail eating the car. It's coming from heaven. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and they do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower. And bread for the eater. God will give you seed to sow and seed to eat. And He used an example. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. Just as the rain comes down, waters the ground and gives seed for sowers and bread for eaters. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return back to me empty. But it will accomplish what I desire. And achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That is a promise that you can hold on to. It's a promise. God will give seed to sowers. You can wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you, I'm a sower. Help me to sow the word of God. Help me to sow a testimony. Help me to sow seed today. Help me to share my bread with somebody today. Verse 13, the New Living Translation says, and the media get ready, it says, where there once were thorns. How many of you know what a thorn is? Can you put the picture up? There's a picture there. Can you see that? That's not a lacquer thing. It's prickly, sharp. Hey now, don't be a thorn, okay? The Bible says where there were once thorns, God's going to change it. Thorn means pain and hurt, toughness. Barrenness, dry thorns. It says, where there once were thorns, God will change it. What will He change it? He says, a cypress tree will grow. There's a cypress tree. It's not sharp. Some people are thorns. God wants you to change from a thorn to a cypress tree. Look at that tree. It speaks about life. It's big. It's massive. It's a blessing. He said there, God says, there once were thorns. Because you understand this principle, I'm going to change it around. God can change you from a thorn to a beautiful cypress tree like that. Hallelujah. You were a sinner, you're going to be a saint. You might not have nothing, but I want to tell you, if you have God, your Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My God shall supply all my needs. It says where there were nettles. You know what a nettle is? Well, you'll see a picture here. That's a leaf. I'm sure you've seen it. It's sharp. It's rough. It's prickly. You don't want to go near it. It's almost like that poisonous ivy. It's sharp. It's dry. It says where nettles used to grow, God's going to change it to a myrtle. Look at that. This is God's description in the Bible about a sower. Not a believer who puts God as your source. Whether you're 13, whether you're 19, 20, whether you're 40, 50, 60, 70, God changes. He makes dead things come alive. You walk with God, you're walking under an open heaven. Hallelujah. God is your source. Because you've made up your mind. You're different. It says, these events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of His power and love. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. I said it this morning, what God starts, we have to steward. Keep the miracle alive. God's given you something, doesn't meet your need, be a sower. It's one thing I've learned over the life of a Christian. Keep the oil alive, keep the miracle alive. Be a channel. Be a blessing. If you're sitting at home and you have nothing to do, and temptation is knocking on the door, there's a party going on, and you know it's the wrong crowd, get busy with the things of God. Say, God, give me seed that I can go sow somebody. Give me a word that I can go share with somebody. Keep the miracle alive. Allow God to teach you from a young age to be your source. Because if you can be rooted in that as a young Christian, that's why the Bible says it's the least in God's eyes, money, but yet it's such a stumbling block for most people. You cannot serve, the Bible says, God and money. You will love the one, you'll hate the other. That's why God says, unless you found faithful in the unrighteous mammon, unless you are found faithful with money, God cannot trust you with the true riches, His power, His anointing, His grace. There's so much waiting on the other side, but it's like a test. Surrender, allow God to be your source. Don't be the Dead Sea. Nothing is coming in, nothing is going out. Be the Sea of Galilee. Go and study the map of Israel. That's in that sea where Peter was, where Jesus told him, lay down your nets, and he caught so much fish. It's on the Sea of Galilee where Peter walked on the water. Amen. You want to be in the Dead Sea. You want to be in the Sea of Life, where there's things that come in and things that go out. Come on, man. Trust God to pay for somebody's bus ticket next week. Be the one that says, I'll do it. Be the one that sponsors somebody else a ticket for Planet Shakers. Trust God. Believe Him. If you're trusting God for a small, you might as well trust Him for something big as well. Hallelujah. You're trusting God for healing. Come on, you can do it. I just learned it's a good place to start with things that affect us. Trust God for supernatural provision. Income from unknown sources. Hallelujah. I used to confess that, God, thank you for income from unknown sources. Checks in the mail. They don't make checks anymore. As God is my witness, I can testify. I started to confess, God, thank you for checks in the mail. And I got a letter from my medical aid. It wasn't a lot. It was 56 rand. It was a refund from my medical aid. I said, thank you, Jesus. It's not about money. It's not about money. Please, don't miss what I'm saying here. It's about teaching people to trust on God. If you can't trust God for your finances, you're going to trust yourself. The Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts on his own flesh, on his own arm of his flesh, on his own ability. Thank God for your degree. Thank God for your wisdom, your IQ, your intelligence. But one thing it is, David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, Goliath, but I come to you as a covenant. I come to you in the name of the Lord. He knew who his source was. He knew where his strength came from. That's why he could take down Goliath. Some of you, you're going to take down Goliaths in your generation. But you're going to have to pass this money test, this trust test. Otherwise, it's going to always trip you up. God is going to have you on a course for your plan. God's going to have a plan for your life, and you're on your course of your destiny. And somebody's going to throw money at you, and you're going to take it. Don't be a lover of money. Love God. Amen. Have you received something tonight? Very simple message. But it's one thing that I want to teach our congregation, young people especially. When you start off in life, you make God your source. You honor God with your source. I was earning 2,000 rand a month, and the church took up a pledge. A pledge in the old church with Pastor Henny. We were going to expand the building. And he spoke about trusting God. And I knew my income. I didn't have it. But I wrote down a pledge. I said, I'm going to trust you for 5,000 rand pledge. Ooh, it was a lot of money. But I trusted God. And I sold my hockey stick. Sold my cell phone. But one thing I learned, I said, God, thank you for seed that I can sow into the house. It was the best day when I could come and give that last 500 rand into the house and fulfill my pledge. And I believe God sees it. And I thank God. I say this because I'm a pastor today, but then I wasn't a pastor. I was just a student, loving God, trusting Him to do big things. I thank God that the church gave us the opportunity to sow into the house and to partner. Didn't have to. Could have just always asked the business guys. I thank God that as a young guy, could make God my source. And I saw God come through faithfully every opportunity. What a great testimony. This church that you're sitting in is a miracle, man. We built this building to testify, to tell you young people, with God, you can trust God for big things. This building didn't cost a million rand. It cost a lot more, okay? Because it was people in this congregation that contributed. Trusted God. With God, all things are possible. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Hallelujah. Do you love God? Do you want to serve Jesus? You can't serve God without knowing His Son. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He died on a cross. He was God. He left His royalty. He left His throne. There's no reason why He should have come other than the fact that He loved mankind. He saw man in its condition of sin. He saw how man was separated from God. He saw man was in a condition. There's something you cannot wash yourself of. You can wash yourself with all the soap in the world. You can never cleanse yourself of the stain and the stench and the consequences of sin. Sin will take you to hell. But Jesus never left us in that condition. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on a cross. What can wash me as white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God never left us. Talk about an intervention. God intervened in my career. I want to tell you, God intervened in the history of mankind. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other God that died and rose again. There's only one. His name is Jesus. The others were good men, prophets. But Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God. He stands head and shoulders above any other false god. It's not all roads lead to heaven. What is today's date? Even time started. It's 2026 years AD. After his death, Jesus has died. It was the pinnacle of history. He died and he rose again for you and for me today. As much as what he's a big God, he's also a personal God. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. He's a loving God. I try to share a little bit of my personal testimony because some of you don't know me as your pastor. You don't know where I come from. I'm glad I could share a little bit tonight as Pastor Art has shared over the years, his testimonies, his little victories of how he had to obey God and trust God. But it starts by keeping a miracle alive. What is the number one miracle in your life? Is the miracle of salvation. The day you give your heart to Jesus and he comes and he lives into your heart. I thank God the day I accepted Jesus publicly and acknowledged him as my Lord and Savior. You're sitting here today. You don't know if you're going to die, where you will go. You hope you go to heaven. You don't know. Well, you don't have to leave this place wondering. You can leave this place tonight knowing that you have received forgiveness of your sins. That you've allowed Jesus the opportunity to intervene in your life. You see, you can live in a soap factory your whole life and you can still stink. Because you've never applied the soap. You need to apply Jesus to your life. Today, Jesus is coming close to you. He's standing, the Bible says, he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. The Bible says, whoever will allow, he will open up, he will come and he will enter in. So you're sitting here today, maybe a friend, a family member invited you. But you've never allowed or given the opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. I thank God for truth. I thank God for a preacher who preached the truth to me. And that day, as a young 19-year-old, with such a bright future ahead of all of us. But it starts with a miracle of salvation. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. Please pray with me. Then allow me to lead you in a simple prayer tonight that changed the course of my life. I don't know where I would have ended up if I never allowed Jesus into my life. I say, Pastor, I'm not a religious person. I didn't grow up a Christian. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. That's fine. Many people haven't. It doesn't matter even if you've grown up in a Christian home. Your parents' faith can't get you to heaven. You need your own faith, sir, ma'am. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, that's me, Pastor Brian. Please pray with me. Then won't you please, quietly, unashamedly, forget the person next to you. Just raise up your hand boldly, unashamedly. Just say, pray for me, Pastor. Lift up your heads right now. Just say, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey. Donkey, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, there's a stirring in your heart. You know, God is more for you than just money and a career and a job. It's got life. Thank you. There's a stirring in your heart tonight. People are praying for you. People have been praying for you. If you look back in your life, you see how many times people have come across your path, invited you to church. Whoever you are tonight, whoever you are, please just raise up your hand boldly and ashamedly. Allow me to pray with you. In Jesus' name, thank you. God bless you. Donkey. Donkey, donkey, donkey. Many of you. Thank you. Family, once you all look at me, we're going to stand up in a moment. We're going to sing and praise God. And as we sing, all you wonderful people that raised your hands, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, then please just come meet me at the altar. This is where I want to pray with you. Can we do that? Come on, let's stand up as we sing and we praise. Let's cheer on every person that raised their hand. Just come. Just come and meet me here at the altar. Come, come, come.
There's salvation in the name. It makes me cry holy.
Maybe you must turn to your neighbor and say, listen, if you want to go, I'll go with you.
There's salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name. It makes me cry holy.
There's salvation
in your name. Salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name. It makes me cry holy.
Come on, it takes a man and a woman who mean business with their future to make a stand for Christ. Not a walk of shame, it's a walk of glory. Come on, let's keep on cheering. There's still more of you. Just come, just come. Hallelujah.
There's salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name. Salvation in your name, it makes me cry.
Come on, there's some of you that are still thinking about
it. Salvation in your name.
You be the lead in your family, you be the lead in your peer group, you take the lead tonight.
There's salvation in your name.
salvation in your name. It makes me cry, holy. There's salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name.
Come on, one last time. Maybe you must turn to your neighbor. Say with respect. If you want to go, I'll go with you.
It makes me cry, holy. There's salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name. There's salvation in your name.
Let's give them a big hand. Thank you for coming out tonight. Yeah, yeah. If there was one person, it would have been worth it. Thank you. What a great privilege it is to pray with you guys. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart. Faith is a function of the heart. We believe with our heart and confess with our mouths. So I don't tell the guys, put your hand on your head. Put your hand on your heart. Say this with me this evening. We come in, we unite with you. Say this with me. Say loud enough that you can hear your own words. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I repent of all my sins. I acknowledge that I need a Savior. I ask you to intervene into my life from this day forward. Thank you for the miracle of a new beginning in you. I know, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You came from heaven, you died on a cross, you went to hell, you conquered the grave, and on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you today. I am a child of God from this moment. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.